We've spent the last few weeks opening up this book, and as we begin to dissect it and see what God is showing us here, last week, you know, we've looked at the first nine verses for like 3 weeks. We've talked about the first nine verses because it's God giving Joshua direction, right? It's God laying out what's going to happen. As Moses had died and Joshua had been appointed the leader, and God says, now here, Joshua, this is what the plan is, right? This is what I have for you. This is what I want you to execute. This is what I want you to lead the people through. And last week, we looked at verses 1 and 2 a little bit more in depth, and we were able to see, you know, like I said, that Moses passed on, God appointed Joshua, and he began to lay out this thing, and he tells Joshua to arise and to go over, and not only to just arise and go over, but to take all the people to the land that he had promised. And he goes on, we're just going to fly through verses 3 through 9 before we get to where we're going today, but in verses 3 through 9, he begins to go on to give more instruction and more tools that it was going to take to carry this mission out. And these are tools not like tools that you and I think of, right? When we think of tool, we think of a 10-millimeter socket, we think of a skill saw, we think of a miter box, we think of whatever, you know, a sewing machine, whatever kind of tool you guys use, we think of those as tools, right? Because we use those tools to finish or to do a task that we have before us. And God's tools aren't like that. And God's tools are spiritual tools. And oftentimes when we go to our spiritual toolbox and we open it up and there's nothing in it, it's empty. And we're like, well, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And it's because we have not taken the tools that God has given us and put them in the toolbox. We've ignored God's tools and said, God, I don't need those tools. I have my own. And I got my own way of doing things. And though it never turns out very well, we continue to live our life like that. And Joshua was an amazing warrior, and he was a battler, and he was doing things as he was following Moses and leading people into battle. And then God says, listen, Joshua, the things have changed, and now you're a leader, and I'm going to give you a couple tools, and I'm going to give you some strength that you're a strong man, and you're out slaughtering people, you're winning battles, you're doing things for my glory, but the strength that I'm going to give you is going to be a different kind of strength. It's going to be strength that comes only from me, not from the gym, not from working out, not from practicing how to battle, but the strength that you're going to need to endure, because this thing that you're about to face as a leader is going to be different. And it's also going to take good courage. You know, I like to say oftentimes, I got up the courage to do this or that, right? 2022, we're going, right? We're going to go to our neighbors. We're going to go to our community, and we're going to say, man, I got to get up some courage, right? I got to muster up some courage to do this. And then that means we're going to do it in the flesh because I'm getting this courage. I'm mustering up this courage. I'm doing it. But when we say, God, I need your strength and your courage to do this, and you can supernaturally work in and through me, then and only then will we be able to glorify him. Because if not, we're going to glorify ourselves. Or we're just going to say, never mind, I'm not going to do it because I can't find the courage. Or the strength, right? Training, conditioning, all those things. I did this and look how strong I am now. And this is not what God is telling Joshua here. In fact, the tools that God is giving him are going to distribute to Joshua. They could only come from God. Joshua couldn't go out to a store and buy these. He couldn't go to a gym and earn this. He couldn't do anything to receive the strength and courage that God was going to give him. And God told him three times, remember where the strength and courage is coming from. Remember where it's coming from. It's coming from me, and you're going to need that. You're going to need to rely on that. You're going to need to trust that. There was going to be many things that Joshua would face now that he was the leader of the people, and God had given him this strength and courage, and it was going to be essential to carry out God's plan. And here's the thing for us, is the same goes for us. And when God gives us instructions to do something, and we say, well, that's impossible, right? We say that all the time. Well, that's just impossible. We forget that God has already given us what we need to accomplish what he's asked us to do. Because God is not a God that sets us up for failure. That's Satan, right? Satan sets us up for failure. God is a man, he's a loving God, full of grace and mercy, but he's a great planner, and he's not going to ask you to go and do something that he has not already, one, done, or two, prepared a way for you to do it. And God told Joshua in verse 5 that there's not going to be any men that are able to stand against you all the days of his life. He reminded Joshua that he'd been with Moses and protected him, and he would do the same for Joshua, and he would do this, the same for you and I. So before we get to verses 10 and 11, I want to just park on verse 8 for 1 second. It says, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall thy way may be prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success." We want a prosperous life and we want a successful life, but we don't want to put any effort into it, right? We want the get-rich-quick scheme. We want the easy button. We want all of that because that's the world we live in. And let me give you just a word of advice. It's a trap. There is no get-rich scheme. There is no easy button. And you may see it in someone else's life and you're like, how do they do it? They've put the work in. Joshua needed to meditate on God's word, right? He needed to put it in and meditate on it instead of putting it in, spitting it out, put it in and let it get where it needs to go, right? To sink down into his heart, because he was going to need it more than anything, more than this strength, more than this courage. He was going to need God's word in order to go out, in order to be prosperous, in order to have good success. The word must be first in our lives. Because if it's not, there's all kinds of other things that are waiting and wanting to be first in our lives. The thing that we see here is, do you truly think it's important for each of us to study God's word? The question that we need to ask ourselves, is it really important that I study God's word? Is it really important for me to know what God's word says? Or can I just go to church and be spoon-fed? Or is God's word just for those that prepare to preach a message? The mentality in today's society is we're consumers and not producers, right? We like to consume, right? Whether it's Big Macs or whatever, we like to consume. But we don't want to put any effort into producing anything. Though God has already produced his word, but to produce something to share with someone else. Because if we go and we're not having something ready, we're not going to have any goods for anyone. We want God's word fed to us. We want it just like pudding on a spoon, right? But God has blessed us, church, with his word in our own language. And there's so many people in this world today that do not have God's word in their language. And there's men that are trying their hardest, right? And allowing God to work in and through them to get God's word into their language. But there's so many souls out there that have never laid their eyes on God's word in their language. They may have heard it through a translator, but there's something special about putting your eyeballs on God's word. And we take that so for granted because we have it. We have it right in front of us. And we're like, well, I have 8 Bibles and I can open it up anytime. But what about those that don't? What about those that have never opened God's word? We need to be ready. Instead of being a consumer, we need to be a producer. God tells Joshua in verse 8 to meditate on the law both day and night. There was going to be problems and issues as he journeyed. And as that journey moved forward, and we're going to see as we flow through this book, why God told him this in the very beginning. Because the word must be first. Joshua had to have a handle on the word of God because he needed a clear mind, right? A leader without a clear mind is just a jumbled up mess. We read in the New Testament to think on what is true. So the question that you need to ask yourself, what is true? What is truth? What is truth in my life? How do I distinguish truth from a lie? How do I distinguish fact from fiction? You know, in John 14:6, it says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, right? John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's so many things that we think are true in this world. And even we take man's word as truth, but God's word is the only truth that we can 100% rely on. And the problem is, is that we go to other places to find truth. We say, Google, what is truth? Right? I mean, that's the world that we live in today because it's the easy button. Right? Google's from the devil. I truly believe that because it's the easy button. We can know anything, right? What's a billion times a billion? I don't know, Google, what's a billion times a billion? There it is, right? No work put in. If you were to have to multiply that out on paper, it would take you a few days, right? Or minutes or something. But Google is the easy button. Instead of going to God's word, I'm saying, God, what do you say? And it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. And it's going to take some diligence. You have to know the one that gives the truth. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God's word is what makes us free. Understanding his mind, understanding the mission, and the mission giver, right? So God gave Joshua the goods, and he gave him exactly what he needed before the mission began, the word of God, and his promise to be with him wherever he went. And he does the same for you and I. He's the way maker, the promise keeper, the roadblock mover, whatever you want to say that's blocking you, God can move it. What we see is impossible, God sees as nothing. He's like, it's out of the way. That simple. You know, God knew Joshua's heart. And though Joshua doesn't say a word in the first 9 verses of this, not one word, he just listens. And God knew Joshua's heart, and there very well could have been some doubt in there. Right? It doesn't say that because Joshua doesn't speak, but as God's laying this out, Joshua could have been like, what have I got myself into? What is going on? But it doesn't say that. So we don't make things up, and assuming gets us in trouble. But God was sure to reassure Joshua that he would provide what he needed as he was needing it. So I want us to get a little bit of movement as we get going in this book, because this is like the 20-year book. So the series I titled, and I think I forgot to tell you guys this when we started, but it's Courageous Living in a Dangerous World. And I think that we can all understand the world that we're living in today. And it's dangerous. And it takes courage that only comes from God. There's things happening all over the world, even today, that are just mind-blowing, and people don't understand what's going on. Volcanoes are erupting, islands are being destroyed, people are dying in the masses, people are going to hell in the masses, and we are living in this world, and it's going to take courage from the Lord in order to do that. And Joshua was embarking on a journey, a new page, a new chapter in his life, that things had changed drastically. And this courageous living in a dangerous world, it's something that we can all get a hold of and understand, because we all live in the same world today. Though we are not of this world if we're child of God, the Bible says, right? But we still live here right now. And Joshua understood this even more now that he was the appointed leader. So in verses 10 and 11, where we're going to spend our time today, let me read this to you. Let's read it together. It says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over the Jordan to go and to possess the land which the Lord God giveth you to possess it. Let's pray. Father God, we pray today. God, as we look at this passage today, as we think on what it takes to rally the troops, what it takes to get people on the same page, what it takes to get people to see the vision. God, it's only through you that this can happen. God, it had been 40 long years of wandering, of kind of doing whatever they wanted, and now there's a commandment given saying, now it's going to happen, and God, when you speak, we need to listen, but not only listen, God, we need to obey. So God, I pray that we would be not forgetful hearers, but God, we would be doers of your word, and God, that we would be proclaimers of your word, and we would be obedient worshipers. And God, I pray today that you're glorified. God, as we open your book, and any time that we have the opportunity to speak it, you should be glorified, not man. And so God, I pray today that your words would just flow through my lips. God, that it would be your words, not my words. God, it would be you speaking, not me. And God, that we would just hear from you and not man. God, I pray we're changed by your word today. And God, that you would just give us something to hold on to and something to apply and something to grow from. So God, be magnified today. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the thing. I was never in the military, never claimed to be in the military, and really never desired to be in the military. But, you know, orders, they come from the top, right? The low guy doesn't say, hey, this is what we're going to do, because that will get him in trouble, right? He'll be mopping the floor or something, I guess. But the orders always come from the top. And then once the order is given, then it's broken down into, right, the lower people. And the order, as we know from verses 1 through 9, came from God. God says exactly what he wants to happen. This is what's going to happen. Joshua, prepare, get ready. And then it was Joshua's turn, right? God gave this to Joshua, and now Joshua was entrusted with this. And there was a lot of people, okay? A lot of people in order to get this vision to, this plan to. God laid it out. This is what's going to happen. And now it was time to rally the troops. It begins with the word then. This word ties us back to the first 9 verses. God spoke, Joshua listened, and now it's time to take action, right? The authority. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let me read that to you real quick, unless you're a quick turner, but it says, let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. That's something that we can chew on, right? Because there's powers that are above us that maybe we don't agree with, but God allowed it to be that way. And we need to be subject unto those higher powers, right? Ultimately, we are subject to the Lord, but he places authorities in our lives. And so we see here, Joshua commanded the officers, right? He's like, listen, I'm going to give you a commandment, and I need you to carry this out. God spoke to Joshua, Joshua listened, it was time to take action, and that's the hard part. If Joshua would have said, but God, I don't know how I'm going to reach all these people. I don't know how I'm going to communicate this plan to all these people. God, it's going to take me another 40 years in order to make sure every single person knows what's going on. But he didn't. He understood the authority structure, just like in the church, right? There's an authority structure. God is at the top. When he begins to lay things out, those begin to go down where they need to get, and before you know it, everybody knows. So Joshua's like, I need to call the officers. I need to get them in here. I need to tell them the plan so that they can do something with it. The hard part is taking action. For some of us, the hard part is listening. Some of us just don't like to listen. Some are good listeners. But how do we relay the information to others? I can listen. Man, I can take notes. But I don't know how to relay that to other people. How do we act when God says act? Maybe we need to find ourselves back in verse 2, right? And arise. Come to attention. And truly listen to the instructions that are given. The whole story. The rest of the story. All of it. Right now, action was needed, and the mission was laid out, and now it's time to rally the troops and relay the mission to everyone else. So Joshua gets right to work. He doesn't tarry. God says in verse 9, now I have commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers. I think maybe Joshua was tired of wasting time. It's like, okay, this 40 years, that's enough. Now we can get going. There was no way that Joshua could relay this message to every single person because there was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. There was no website. There was none of that stuff, right? Because that's how we think we can communicate to the masses. The easy button, right? The easy button. Well, I can communicate to all of my friends, and then maybe they'll share it on Facebook, and they'll share it, and before you know it, maybe the whole world will hear the gospel through Facebook. Where's the heart? I'm not saying quit sharing the gospel on Facebook. Keep sharing the gospel on Facebook because it's full of garbage, but what I'm saying is that's the easy button. Joshua didn't have an easy button. And really, I pray that God would take away all of our easy buttons. There was an order of authority set in place so that the word could get to all the people. Because God would not tell Joshua, right, to arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. He wouldn't tell him that if there was not a way in order to get all the people the message. Joshua calls the officers, and I think of these officers as like a foreman on a job site. The boss gives the instructions in the morning meeting, in the job trailer, whatever it may be, making sure that the foremen knew what the task was for that day. And then the message had to be communicated to the laborers, to the carpenters, to whatever field that you guys want to imagine yourself being in. And that had to be communicated clearly, because if they're building a house and the boss says, foreman, this is what we're going to do today. And then he goes and says, well, I think that I want to do this, guys, right? And then it's all out of order. There's a way, and there's a reason that there's an authority. The church is the same way. As we grow, we will see more and more leaders emerge at New Life. And this is so communication can happen better. Not so that we can have all of these leaders, right? But so that communication can happen better. So that the mission is not on one man's shoulders. Delegated authority inside of the church is important so that everyone knows what's going on, not just one person. Right? Because if just one person knows, and then if I knew a secret, and then I had to tell you guys all the secret, it would take me a little while to do that, right? But if I tell Travis, and then Travis tells someone, and then they both go tell someone, multiplication starts happening. Within 3 minutes, everyone in this room would know what I said. And hopefully it was communicated well enough that when I told Travis something, it wasn't different when it got to Kenny. Because oftentimes that's what happens. Man gets in the way. He calls the officers, he commands them. That word command is to give an authoritative order, one that is expected to be obeyed. Not a suggestion, but a command. And there's a huge difference. And it took four children in my life in order for me to understand this, okay? Because as the father, our kids, they had chores or they had things that they needed to take care of. And as a dad, I kind of would be like, hey, why don't you go take out the trash? Well, they're crafty little boogers. And they're like, well, he didn't tell me I had to take out the trash. He said, why don't I go take out the trash? Right? And then I would be like, you got to be kidding me. I didn't give a command. I gave a suggestion. If we don't give a command to do the dishes or take out the trash, it's probably not going to happen. The difference is when I say, I want you right now to take out the trash. Joshua commanded the officers to do something. Not a if you feel like it or when you get time, but do it. Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying. And in verse 11, we see the command. It says, pass through all the hosts, pass through the hosts. Pass through all the people and make sure that everyone knows the game plan. Another thought on this is likened to sports. I love sports. And I spent a great number of my years playing sports. I spent probably more of my years coaching sports. And that is one of the hardest things that you could ever do, is to coach. And one of the things that I learned as I coached is that it takes more than one coach to communicate the game plan. If it was just me teaching in baseball, hitting and pitching and fielding to the whole team, we would not accomplish all of those things in one practice. But with a good coaching staff, a good authoritative structure that's all on the same page, we can execute all of those things in a couple hours as we break off and do our thing. Andy Reid is the greatest football coach in the history of National Football League. I truly believe that. But he has an amazing staff that executes the game plan week in and week out. Right? Andy doesn't coach the defense and the special teams and the offense and all of the receivers and running backs and safety. He doesn't coach all. He's the head coach, but he has coaches underneath him that he tells them, this is the game plan. And they're like, sweet, because we're going to annihilate somebody with that game plan. And then they communicate that game plan for 6 days as they practice. And then they come together as a team after they've executed all of their individual plans. And then we see what happens, hopefully, right? We see victory. We see the game plan coming together because everyone worked together. So the officers were commanded to go and also to command the people. Pass through the host and command the people. Right? That word command is showing up again. They were to go and tell the people, now the time has come. The time that you've been waiting for 40 years is just days away. And there's two things that we're going to see in this verse. The first one is to prepare. The second one is this word 3 days. God was giving the people a time to prepare to leave. They had time to prepare some food for the journey. The food that would be needed. When we prepare for a trip, usually I do it a couple hours before time, right? And then I open my bag or my suitcase and I just cram everything I can possibly think of into my bag. I want to be prepared, all right? I better take a couple extra pair of socks and underwear and who knows what could happen. And I begin to pack my bag with all of my special belongings that keep me comfortable. Those comfort items. But all we truly need is some meat. Prepare your victuals. Prepare your food. Prepare your meat. It's likened unto the Word of God. Truly all we need is God's Word and faith in Him to provide what is truly needed. Not all the baggage that weighs us down. I have a really good example of this as I went. We went to Nepal. And I've talked about this trip many times, but God gave me so many illustrations through that trip. And we had a very short time to prepare. The earthquake happened. We needed to get on it and get there and help. So we packed our bags, and everybody took a couple bags. And lo and behold, a few of our bags didn't make it. They went to Miami or something. That's not very close to Nepal. And we get there, and luckily enough, we had a great leader that said, always prepare 2 bags, right? A bag that you can have with you at all the time, and then the bag with the other stuff. And we get there, and myself and my brother and another brother, their bags didn't show up. And inside of my bag, when you go to India and Nepal, their meat is not like our meat, right? I'm just saying. They take a chicken, chop it up with bones. It's just not very good, right? So I had some Slim Jims and some summer sausage, and I'm like, I am prepared, baby. And it was in my suitcase. So for like 10 days, I didn't have my comfort items. But it was okay, because God made a way, and He provided, and we ate some rice and dal. If you know what that is, it's not very good unless you're Zach Fort, because he really likes it. But my point here is that, you know what? After we had suffered a while and suffered our flesh and we learned to rely on God, and even some of us didn't have any clothes, and God provided some clothes, and we were way off the beaten path, up in the Himalayan mountains, really the foothills of the Himalayan mountains, somehow our bags made it to us. And that was a miracle in itself. Because they got them to Kathmandu, Nepal. Then they got on this rickety truck, and then they brought them to the mountain. Nobody stole any of our stuff. It was a miracle. God provided, but He first needed to make sure that we were relying on Him. My point here is that when God says prepare, we just need to prepare and make sure that we have Him. We have the meat. We have His Word. So the officers commanded the people to start preparing, because in just 3 short days, an amazing miracle was going to happen, and they would go and possess the land which the Lord gave them. The second thing here is the phrase 3 days, right? He says, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over the Jordan. And this number 3, if you're not a number guy, man, you should really study out numbers in the Bible, because this number 3 is significant, and numbers truly matter. And the number 3 is absolutely amazing. It pictures completeness. It's one of the four perfect numbers in the Bible, 3, 7, 10, and 12. You can study those out. But here's something awesome about the number 3. And in the New Testament, does anybody know how many books are in the New Testament? Does anybody? 27. What is 3 times 3 times 3? 27. I'm like, dang, that's pretty cool. Or completeness to the third power, right, if you're a mathematician. Jesus prayed 3 times in the garden. He was placed on the cross at the 3rd hour of the day. He died on the 9th hour of the day, which is 3 p.m. And there were 3 hours of darkness while Jesus was suffering on the cross. 3 is important, right? Amazing things happen when it comes to 3. He was dead for 3 days. We could go on and on and on about the number 3, but what we see here is that the officers were to tell the people to get prepared because in 3 days, a significant time, the journey would begin. And the great rally of people was about to happen. Here's what I want us to understand. The word spreads quicker if we apply verse 2. If you apply verse 2. If you read it again. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go. If you will apply that personally, if you underline that, highlight, circle it, say, I need to do this. God, use me. Make me arise and make me go. The word will spread quicker. We're in this together. We're brothers and sisters. And here's the thing. When there's a link missing, it takes a little bit longer for it to get past that missing link. And if we, as individual believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the body, but individuals, if we will not arise and go, it's going to take longer for the word to spread. We have to go. And it takes each and every one of us going to get the word where it needs to go. Here's the question. What if one of these people didn't get the message? What if one of these people wasn't communicated to? And then here all of a sudden there's this just mass of people that are getting ready to cross the Jordan River. They're rallying up there. And there's one person like, what's going on? What if you didn't reach that person? The rapture's coming, church. What if one person's like, what is going on? And you had an opportunity to tell them. You need a relationship with Jesus. Is one soul worth you arising and going? Is one soul worth your time? Because it had better be. We need to listen to that burden that God is giving you right now. You know, in Psalm 55:22, it tells us to cast our burdens upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. A burden for the souls of Clinton, Missouri. You know, those can't be carried by man. We should be burdened, but we can't carry that burden. We must be willing to give it to Jesus and he'll make a way. That one person that you're thinking about right now that you need to go to, that you need to arise, you need to come to attention, let God speak to you, and you need to go to them. Do you love them enough to tell them the truth? Here's the question. What's the worst that can happen? They say, I don't want to hear that. You're ignorant. That's stupid. I don't believe that. It's just words. I mean, they could murder you, if I guess, but what's the worst that can happen to you? But we must remember what Jesus says in Luke chapter 10, verse 16, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him. We're just the messenger. And that don't shoot the messenger thing. Man, we're just like, I'm just the messenger. Right? But we feel rejected because that's our flesh. We must get after it. And Joshua communicated the plan and it needed to be passed on to the multitude of people to prepare and in 3 days to go because God is going to give them what they have been promised. For us, it's like this. Man is separated from God by a great gulf of raging river of sin. Right? There's no way across it. Imagine going to the Missouri River and thinking, I think I can cross that thing. You're going to die, okay? Unless you have a boat. You're not swimming probably across the Missouri River. But people try and they fail. They'll get halfway across and freak out and go back. There's no way across. In the same way as they face the Jordan River at flood stage here, as it's raging, there was no way for man to get across it. For us, as we face sin head on, that's separating us, right? Depraved man, holy God, sin is the raging river before us. God says, quit trying, because I've made a way. There is a way across. But there's only one way, and you must realize that there's only one way. God sent Jesus to promise a way to get across that. The only way to the promised land, only way to eternal life, is through God making a way. Man tried for a long time, right? Building these towers. I think I can build a tower to Jesus. They would still be building that tower today. Man's tried everything in their power to get around the only way. The children of Israel could have tried in many ways to cross this river, to only find out they couldn't do it on their own. Failure after failure would result in nothing but death and hurt, emptiness. But God says, okay, that's enough. I'm going to make a way. Moses is dead. Joshua, here's the way. It's going to be very clear. You will not miss it. And the way is named Jesus. He will lead you across that great gulf. He will lead you across that river through a relationship with him. And then and only then will man be reconciled back to God. Then and only then will we be given what we're promised. Verse 11 ends with this. It says, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. They were faced with a choice, church. We are faced with a choice. They had to take action to prepare and go. All that God had promised was right there in front of them, and they had to do was believe that God would do what he said he was going to do, and then take action and follow him. The vision had been communicated to all the people, so no one was left behind. This is us, right? He's the way maker. This goes farther than just salvation. That sanctification begins at that moment. He is offering us a relationship for us to possess, and also a life that is blessed by serving him. It's our time, church. It's time to prepare. We need to eat some word, right? We need to eat some word. We need to get in God's word. We must be swimming in it. We must be immersed in it. We must be saturated by God's word, because if we're not, we're saturated by the things of this world. I love the Kansas City Chiefs, and I can't wait till 2 o'clock to come on. But right now, it's about God, right? And guess what? At 2 o'clock, it's about God, too. We don't say, God, time out. I don't need you right now. No, it's all about God all the time. And we can be crazy, lunatic Chiefs fans. That's okay. But we don't forsake God. It's time. It may seem impossible, but it's not. If it's God's will for you to go, for me to go, for us to go, for the opportunity that he's given us, which I truly 100% without a shadow of a doubt believe it is, then the ball is in our court to actually go. He's already made the way. He's already prepared those that we're going to go to. We need to take the gospel, we need to take the opportunity that is right in front of us and use it. And I'm gonna give you an illustration of something right now, because some of you are like, you tell me all the time that everybody should know how to share the gospel. If you're saved, you should, okay? You have a testimony and you should be able to communicate that. But on Wednesday night at youth, we had these cards. They're just like thought-provoking, conversation-provoking cards. And one of them, basically said, can you explain the gospel to somebody else? And this was a very simple card. But you know what? If I pass that card around to all of you, you would probably have, most of us would have the same response that our whole entire youth group had. Not really. Not really. If somebody was to come up to me and ask me to explain my faith, I mean, I could explain the gospel. You know, Jesus died for me. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Absolutely. But can we explain to them how they can have that relationship? Well, it's up to us as the church to prepare, right? To prepare every saint to be a minister, to every member to be a minister, because all of us should be equipped to be able to do that. It's the basics of our faith. We should be able to do that. And for some of us, it's going to be humbling to say, I really don't know how to share my faith, so I want to know. And I want every opportunity that I can to maybe just practice how to do that. It's going to take humility. Maybe it's going to take humility for you to ask somebody, hey, can we sit down over a cup of coffee and you explain that to me? But I think that that's something that we should desire to be humble for. We should desire to know how to share the gospel. We should know how to desire how God's working in our life, what he did. So we're going to have opportunities, right, to get ready. And we're going to have them spread out throughout the year because we're going, okay? It's time to get on the bus because we're going. We have so many opportunities this year to go out to our neighborhood, to go out to our community, and to tell people, to invite them to church, but most of all, to tell them the truth. And we want to be ready. You know, we'll have some people come in to teach us. We'll have some videos. We'll have opportunities to act like weirdos and do skits and stuff. We're going to equip us ourselves. We're going to allow God to equip us to be ready. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That verse right there. Can you tell somebody where your hope comes from and why? Colossians 3, 4, or 4, 5, and 6 says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. God has given us everything that we need in the Word of God. We don't need to overcomplicate it, okay? He's given us everything, but how much do we desire to have the mind of Christ? How much do we desire to understand what he's saying? To be able to give a biblical answer, not a man-made opinion, because that's what man's looking for, right? What do you think about this? Well, let me see what God thinks about this, because that's what I believe. Has anyone ever asked you about your faith? If so, how did you answer them? Don't be ashamed of the gospel, right? It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the most powerful force. Don't limit what God can do because you feel inadequate to not be able to speak correctly. Go read Jeremiah chapter 1, right? I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I don't know what to do. God says, I'll give you everything you need. I will speak through your lips. I will communicate through you if you're willing. God will give us what we need to say. If we have, man, put the word in. Give some ammunition. Load the gun so that God has something to work with. You know the old saying, you can't get blood out of a turnip. You can't expect the word to flow through you if you haven't put it in, right? Well, I don't understand why I can't quote scripture. Have you ever memorized a verse? No, well, I don't understand why you can't quote scripture either, right? You should desire to memorize God's word. You should desire to have it in your heart. Not so you can say, I memorized God's word, so that, man, it will flow out of you, right? What is seeping out, right? We're sweaty people, and we sweat out all this salt. Man, what if we're sweating out? What if it's likened unto that with God's word, and we just can't help but just splatter it on people as we go around? It sounds gross, but it's so true. Now's the time. We must spend time with the one that instructs us to go. We've got to get prepared. We're going to have opportunities, and it's up to you if you want to engage in that. Because if you won't do that, you won't go. And in fact, he probably won't open doors for those that aren't willing to get prepared. I just want to give you just a few keys to having success in sharing your faith, and then we'll be done. These are simple. You need to represent Jesus in your life. You need to represent Jesus in your life. He's the one you're serving. He's your Father. He's the one that saved your soul. How are you representing him in your life? How does your actions day to day represent Jesus to those that you may be the only Jesus in their life? Be a good friend by showing love. Okay? Love one another. It's a commandment that Jesus gives us. Be a good example of what a child of God looks like. Submit to the authority of God and obey him. and then pray for open doors. You know, sometimes our first meeting with someone, we meet a complete stranger. We're out sharing our faith. We're knocking on doors or walking around the Clinton Square or in Walmart parking lot. And maybe our first meeting, most of the time, it's going to be nothing more than an introduction. Hey, I'm so-and-so. Nice to meet you. God bless you. Have a good day. And then we pray for another encounter with that person. And then the next thing is, hey, man, God has just laid something on my heart. Can I share it with you? And then the relationship begins to be built, and we're being a good example. We're representing Jesus. We're becoming a friend to this person. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Why can't we be? We need to spend time getting to know our community, inviting them to have coffee, building a relationship through love, then the doors will open naturally. This is off topic. I know this isn't what we're talking about here today, but we have to communicate. What are we communicating? Some of us are really good communicators. We can just communicate, 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 and just keep communicating. But what are we communicating? Joshua was the new appointed leader, and he had to communicate what God told him. What is God telling you in his word, and are you communicating that with someone else? Because you should, man, when God gives you something, it should like be a fire inside of you. You're like, I cannot wait to tell somebody this. You should have zeal and passion for God's word to want to share it with somebody else. You know, Joshua's the new appointed leader, and there may not have been great trust between all the people and him yet, but that didn't stop him from doing what God told him to do. It didn't stop him at all. So then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over the Jordan to go into to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. We just need to be obedient. We just need to be obedient. God has given us his word and told us, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Because if you don't go, who will? It's not a suggestion. God doesn't say, if you feel like it, go. Whenever you have time, go. No, he says, go. That's kind of like us saying, now. Now. Do it now. That's what God is telling me. It's like a command. Get up, get ready, and get going. We don't want to miss out. Right? We don't want to miss out. I was sharing with our leadership team last night about the word team. And guys, we're all a team. Though we have leaders appointed in the church, we are all a team. And it takes every single one of us. And that word team means together everything is achievable in ministry. And it takes every single one of us to work together. Obviously, it takes God. But we are together with God, right? We're following him. We are trusting him. We need to be a team servant. We do. We need to prepare and wait for God to tell us it's our time. That's what we need to do. Let's pray.